God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Someone once said that the definition of insanity was doing the same thing the same way and expecting a different result. That is not the definition of insanity. Insanity is a strictly clinical term that has nothing to do with repetitious action. Insanity means an inability to see what's real, that you hold on to the illusion so long until you can't function in what's real. You're insane if you don't move forward. Because life moves forward. Changes are inevitable. And we long for the good old days. For me, you know, I long for the 80s when I was 4 and 5 years old. I long for those days. I don't like being 35. It's old. But you long for those days when life was simple. Here's what you're saying. When life did not present a challenge. This week, as I was praying about today's message, I wanted to continue faith because I'm of the mindset that people need to be exposed to something so long until it begins to change how we think. I was able to continue it for 7:30 today, and we just had such a marvelous time talking about how faith works and looking at Mark chapter 9. For the first time, we had a really biblical psychological assessment of Mark 9 when the man says, "I believe, help my unbelief." You need to get that CD and listen to that again because you're finally going to understand the conflict between belief and unbelief. And so as I was praying and said, "Lord, I want to continue it at midday," he said, nope, we're not going to do that this week, son. I said, okay. Like Ezekiel, I said, you're in charge. You know what you want to do. Just tell me and I'll do it. I'm not going to worry about, things. And so he gave me these passages to share with you in the hope that there will be a change in your assessment of God. We are three-part beings. We are spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. The spirit and the soul, according to Hebrews, can be separated. He said the word of God separates the soul from the spirit. Now, the spiritual part of you, clinically, the spiritual part of you is the part that knows. It's the conscious part of you, the part of you that knows, that experiences, that grows. The soulish part of you is your respondent. It just does what the spirit that you yield to tells it to do. If we were to take a modern assessment of soul and spirit, we would say that the soul is who you are, and the spirit is what you are. You cannot change who you are. That's character, idiosyncrasies, mental development. God made you what you are. But in the spirit realm, that's when you take information, assessment, environment, culture, family, words you hear. They tell you to take what you are and have it affect who you are. Are you with me? That means that the environment has more input on your so-called spirit than it does your soul. It's not your soul that generates speech. Jesus said, the things that come out of the heart, for some reason, the King James translates what Jesus said to cardia, heart, cardia. But that part of you does not think. It does not produce thoughts. It's really a colloquialism. We'll say, I love you with all my heart. It means I love you with all of my being. It's an assessment of how I'm going to respond to you. But Jesus said, what comes from your heart, your spirit, that's where certain thoughts emanate from that part of you. You cannot move forward with God until there is a change in your spiritual outlook. Amen. Can't do it. Can't do it. Now listen carefully, because what we're going to give you today will link to the faith concepts we've been talking about. But the link requires a reevaluation of the essence of you. You must first acknowledge that your soul was born in sin. Ergo, you can't contact God and connect with God because sin separates us from God. But why was it so important? Why didn't God need to save your spirit? If God is spirit, and that's the only part of your three parts that automatically go back to God according to Ecclesiastes, regardless of your salvational position, why didn't he need to save your spirit? Because your spirit doesn't sin. Amen. It feeds you information. Yeah. And it checks with your soul to see if you like it. And since your soul operates on emotion and passion, you can override the logic of your spirit and lean on the pleasure of the flesh. Because the soul says, I like that. The soul will cause you to miss important people in your life because you don't like them. But they may be the best thing that ever happened to you. Jesus came here to do what? To die. All the rest is window dressing. He came to die. But of the 12 disciples he had, only one got him to the cross. And that was the one he gave the money to. Because his heart was not in following Jesus. And Jesus identified that right out. Why wouldn't he give the money to the businessmen? Peter, James, and John. They were running a successful fishing business. Why wouldn't he say to them, take care of my money? Why did he give it to the one who would ultimately betray him for money? See, your natural gift has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Sometimes God will use your natural gift to expose what's in your spirit. And the world may embrace it, but it is the cause of alienation in the kingdom of God. Now just go with me. I'm just giving you the abstract, the opening. Because we're not growing. My Lord. Okay. Because we're soulish. Watch. I don't feel like coming to church. I don't feel like liking you. I don't feel like sitting over there. I don't feel like singing. I don't feel like praising God. I don't feel like coming to prayer Wednesday. Spirit don't care. He'll tell you, go to church. Praise the Lord. Because he operates on pure logic. He does not operate on feeling. Listen carefully. The devil cannot mess with your spirit until you surrender it to the soul's inconsistency. He can't. Your spirit is connected to God. What makes it separate? When you feel. So the writer to the Hebrews says that the word separates soul and spirit. Oh, I love that. Here's what he's saying. When you get into the word of God, it separates what you should do from what you feel like doing. And you will defer to what you should do. You will praise him, not because of what he's done, but because of who he is. You won't even try to rationalize it. Well, I don't like the person doing praise and worship. They don't have nothing to do with it. Just because you don't like the teller doesn't mean you won't cash your check. Just because you don't like the person behind the counter at Tiffany's don't mean you won't buy that diamond. Whoever's leading me into worship, I don't have to like them because I'm not worshiping them. Let me go on here now. I preach myself happy. The graduation from soul to spirit is painful. It is painful because in most cases, it's wrong. The soul's assessment. We don't like to let go of wrong. Wrong is comfortable. We justify wrong by saying, it's my perception. Therefore, if it's my perception, it's my reality. Hold it. Jim Crow's perception was all black people are subservient. So that perception helped keep black folk into mental slavery. It kept them bound. Watch this. Their perception became their reality. Listen carefully. But they kept their perception public until it became your reality. And then you, as a race of people, decided that there's nothing for me. They're keeping us down. Didn't finish high school, but they're keeping us down. Because now their perception that you were no good made you believe that you were no good. What makes a woman stay with an abusive man? The perception that I can't get anybody else. What makes him abuse her? The perception that she's going to let me keep doing it. You were dead long before he hit you. You were dead long before he killed you. Because somewhere in your background, somebody told you that this is what you're supposed to do. Child, if he hit you, it mean he love you. Some of you heard it. I can see you turned your head and just dropped it right on the floor. Because you had an aunt or a great aunt who lived in those abusive relationships. And God has me talking about this because somebody in here is going through it. And you've been praying and asking God to get you out of it. In fact, you even prayed and asked God to kill that November India Gulf Echo Romeo. And he didn't do it yet. Because deep inside of you, if you get off the soul kick and begin to look inside your spirit, you have the strength to do the most important thing, walk away. But you can as long as you hold on to that old philosophy. What did you come in here today for? It's church. I came to hear a word. Do you know the devil has you in bondage if you came to hear a word? You don't come to hear no word. If you a Christian, you've been hearing the word all week. That's why God can't move, because there's no expectation. He says, you just came to hear a word, then that's all you get, no word. There, get your word and go home. But if you came in here to say, I came for the manifestation, I'm looking for God to do something. I'm tired of sitting on dry rye bread. I want it toasted, buttered, jellied, cut in pieces so I can enjoy it. I came for a move, not just a word. Now go with me now. Go with me. Walk with me. Romans 15:4, Paul says in the King James Version, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. The Amplified Bible says, for whatsoever was thus written in former days were written for our instruction, that by our steadfast and patient endurance and encouragement drawn from the scriptures, we might hold fast to and cherish hope. In Young's literal translation, it says, for as many things as were written before, for our instruction was written before, that through endurance and exhortation of the writings, we might have hope. In other words, God gave you the Bible so that you can learn from the mistakes of others, so your hope would not be diminished, but increase, because you have a reference of God doing something fantastic in the hearts of other regular people. Not one person that God called had the ability to do it until he gave it to them. Noah was a farmer, but he built a craft as large as the USS Enterprise and never didn't even know what a boat was. But the Bible said he did it by faith. He believed that God called him because there was something in him that his soul could not rationalize. You are being held back because you have people in your life that speak to your soul rather than your spirit. God is telling you, move up, move up, go forth, get a new day, move into something. And we settle for the mediocrity of the immediacy of the moment and lose our future. Tell your neighbor, look at him on either side. Don't be disobedient and just keep looking at me. Pentecostal people never do what the preacher says. Now, when you look at him, say these words. Neighbor, it's time for a change in my life and in yours. Now say it to the other person. When you look into the Word of God, you will find scattered throughout the 66 books. Lord, have mercy. I don't know if I'm getting through this. You will find scattered throughout the 66 books different and distinct revelations of God. One may ask, God, why do you reveal yourself through so many different ways? God says, because you confront many different problems. And if you continue to look at me through one dimension, you will never appreciate my power. God is so great. In the scriptures, the greatness of the person is identified through their name. The name would often demonstrate or identify who and what they were. So Moses, being fully cognizant of that idea, when he approaches God in Exodus chapter 3, and God begins to tell him that I need you to go down into Egypt and bring my people out, Moses does not ask for a demonstration of power. Moses does not ask for validity of the call. Moses does not seek anything other than God's identification. He says, when I get back to those people, because it is our nature to inquire as to the identity of the person sending, what should I tell them is your name? God said, tell them I am.
Now, brothers and sisters, that ought to make you shout. Listen, I'm not saying do it right now because I'm talking. You better understand what God is saying. He says, I am that I am. Now, a careful understanding of that is not hocus pocus. God does not suffer from dementia. He's not repeating something because he lacks the vocabulary. God is saying, I am whatever you need me to be. But right now, you need me to be your deliverer. But when you come out, I'm going to be your Elohim. And when you go through the wilderness, I'm going to be your provider. But if you limit me to deliverance, you'll never see me when it's time for provision. You'll never see me when it's time to heal. Now, ooh. God says, I've got to prove to you who I am. I've got to prove it to you up here. Say, how you going to do it, Lord? You're going to hit circumstances when you leave Egypt that require me to fix it. When they came out, the first obstacle was no clean drinking water. God knows you need it. You can only go 3 days without water, 40 days without food, 3 days without water. God said to bring the people 3 days from Egypt, a three-day journey, so they could worship me. Lord have mercy. That three is perfection. He says, I need them completely away from Egypt. Lord, help me. Watch this. I need them 3 days from Egypt, right? I need them 3 days out of Egypt, and then I'm going to take my time to get Egypt out of them. They were 3 days from Egypt, but the Egypt had not yet come out of them. They were making kingdom decisions with an Egyptian spirit. When you came to God, now here you are 30, 40 years saved. You are still making kingdom decisions with that old Egyptian spirit. You've forgotten that when people come against you, it is your midterm or final for your promotion. You should not be discouraged when folk lie on you, when they cheat you, when they talk about you. It is God saying it's time to promote you. But that old Egyptian mindset makes you whine and cry. Why are people talking about me? Get yourself together. Change your thought process. Realize that God is setting me up for a release of the anointing. How many of you have ever asked God to do something in your life? How do you think it's coming? How do you think it's coming? You think the anointing just drops on you because you've been watching TBN and the Word Network? What you better realize is that what you're seeing on television is the finished product. You don't know what the men and women of God went through to get to that place. You sitting there watching me say, oh, listen to Pastor Lambert. You don't know what I went through to be able to preach this. God don't let you preach stuff out of theory. You've got to come through the fire. You've got to come through the flood. You've got to suffer. If you want a cross, if you want a crown, you've got to have a cross. Hey! I hear James Brown. I don't know why I say this every week. Get up off of that thing. I don't know why I keep saying that song. We're sitting around feeling sorry for ourselves, looking at our situation, but not realizing God wants to use it to push you into another dimension. Get up off of that thing. You're looking at the immediate, but you're not looking at the future. Who, for the glory that was set before him, endured the cross, took the pain, went through the suffering, knew that he was going to sit on the right hand of the Father, knew that all his enemies were going to be under his feet. You must realize that it is our sovereign God who is taking you through the furnace of affliction so that you may be an instrument of deliverance.
Why do we have a Bible and 66 books? There's a different revelation of God. In the New Testament, there's a different revelation of Christ. Why does God always present himself in a different light? When he wants to reveal himself through the most holiest of names, Jehovah, he does so in 17 different examples. Whatever you need, you can find in God. You may have to change the suffix, but the prefix is always Jehovah. Then when God says, well, Jehovah is kind of like my title. But when you want to get into that Father stuff, he says, I'm going to change the prefix from Jehovah to El. El is just for my kids. I'm El Elyon. I'm the Most High God. That means you got other gods, but I'm the high one. Listen, he never said, I don't care if you don't have no other gods. He said, just can't have no other ones before me. Because God knows that the ones you have are going to fail when he stands up. God knows that you're going to run into a situation that the other God can't get you out of. God don't care if you call somebody else God. He knows that when he shows up, all other gods are going to fall. Oh, Lord, help me. The Philistine took the Ark of the Covenant and put it in the temple of Dagon. When they woke up in the morning, Dagon was on his face. They said, oh, must have been an earthquake, and stood Dagon back up. The next day they came out, Dagon was on his face, but this time his head was cut off, his arms were cut off, and his legs were cut off, and Dagon was made out of granite. Let me tell you, God is bringing you into a realm of season where you will see that it is God that's meeting your needs. God is healing your body. God is delivering you. God is making your way straight. Tell somebody, it's my time. It's my time. Tell somebody, it's my time. Bound by tradition, bound by ungodly thoughts. People have lied to you and told you you can't make it. It's been part of your subconscious for decades. I'm telling you, today is your day to break free. Satan has come and infiltrated your mind, but the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. See things from a different perspective. Get your faith working. Oh, I wish I had somebody. I can't get no help. We become creatures of habit, and that may be fine in certain segments of your life, but not in the spiritual realm. We must learn. We must be taught. We must persevere until we learn how to live in this realm but function in the other one. Jesus was the master of the two dimensions. He lived in the natural, but he functioned in the spiritual. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. He didn't see it in this realm. He saw it when he went into prayer. Jesus didn't have to pray for a Cadillac. He would go into prayer and God said, there's a man with a donkey. Send the disciples to go take him.
Lord, have mercy. He said, Father, where are we going to celebrate the Passover? He said, there's a man that's got an apartment. He's looking for somebody to rent a room. The reason you're struggling with decisions is because you haven't been listening to God. You've been listening to the economy. You've been listening to people. But the God that I serve has already given the answer. But it has to get through the darkness of our unconscious mind and spring forth into the realm of the spiritual understanding. Let me get to my first text. The things that were written aforetime were written for us. That's not my text. That's my setup. That's my jab. That means everything in this book was written so you don't make the same mistakes twice. You learn from Sennacherib. Don't challenge God. You learn from Sennacherib. Don't challenge God. Sennacherib said to Hezekiah and the people behind the gate, he said, listen, my army is so vast that it drinks up rivers. He said, don't you let Hezekiah tell you the lie that your invisible God can beat my warriors. Send it in a letter. Had a nerve to send him an email. Hezekiah opened up the email, printed out the letter, was a little distraught when he read it. God said, take it to Isaiah. Isaiah stopped by. He said, Isaiah, look what I got in the email. He said, from who? He said, Sennacherib. He said, give it to me. Isaiah took it and presented it to the Lord and said, Lord, you got mail. God said, give it to me. Looked at it and said, go back and tell Hezekiah to go to sleep. Tell him ain't nothing to it but to do it. Don't let him walk the ramparts of the city. Don't let him walk on the walls and try to imagine a victory. Just go to sleep. I got this thing. While Hezekiah was asleep, God sent one angel. That crip that's standing off to the side with his pant legs rolled up, got on Timberlands. In the middle of August, with a blue do-rag around his head, with a four sizes too big t-shirt that says God's warrior on it, pulled out his sword, said, what should I do, Jehovah? He said, go on down and teach Sennacherib a lesson. But what was interesting was Sennacherib left. You see, people always snipe at you from a distance. Because deep in the recesses of their mind, they wonder, what if your God does show up? He said, the angel said, should I kill them all? He said, nah, just 185,000. Send a good message. He came down at night and killed 185,000 Syrian soldiers. Then went back to heaven and stood there, waiting. The only other time he may have been pressed into service is when Jesus was going through their crucifixion. He said, don't you know I can call my Father and he can send me a whole bunch of angels that'll wipe out everybody? That was that big crip angel. He was waiting. He was listening. Just say the word. Say the word, Jesus. But Jesus took it for us. That's why the angels look at us and say, you mean he died for you? Ain't nothing good about you. You cigarette smoking, liquor drinking, crack smoking, heroin sticking, cocaine sniffing, marijuana sucking, life, ungodly life living people. How dare you stand in the presence of God and lift up hands that used to be dirty but are now clean? How can you sing hallelujah to the Lamb when you were lost in sin? And we get up and say, we have been redeemed. We have been washed in the blood. Brought by the power of God into this position, bought by the spilled blood of the Lamb. Paul said, angels want to look into this. The angel says, I was going to kill you last year for the blasphemy that came out your mouth. And here you are worshiping Jehovah. What a marvel this grace is. Tell somebody, God is doing something new. Week after week, you come in, you memorize the service. We need to change this thing. Some of you were completely thrown out when I got up here to preach and we didn't have the announcements. You're like, what happened? What happened? We ain't had the announcements. Did they play the announcements? We ain't had the announcements yet. I don't get it. What's he doing up now? He early. Every week you come in and do the same thing. Watch this. You sit in the same seat. Why? Because it's comfortable there. You sit around the same dead people. Don't want to sit around anybody that's going to shake you. Don't want to sit around anybody that's going to be tapping you every 5 minutes. I wish they'd just sit down. But if you believe in the sovereignty of God, God put you next to that person. Because you need tapping. You need to be tapped. Did you hear that? Oh, look at God. Oh, Jesus. And you know you're too ashamed to get up. So you just sit there and lose all your anointing. Why don't they just stop instead of tapping them back? Yeah, child. He sure did. Isn't God good? Now the whole row tapping. We got a wave. And God stepped in the middle and said, let me heal some cancer. Let me open up some blinded eyes. My people tapping each other. Didn't I say if two would touch and agree? They don't always have to join hands. They can just tap. You waiting for me to have a healing line. And God said, I put that person next to you to tap you. Get your healing. Do something new. Stick around after service. Don't run out right away. God may be pouring out a blessing. As soon as you leave, somebody get your blessing.
You say, no, it's not. What's for me is for me.
No, 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 no. Wrong theology. Somebody can step in your place and get your blessing. Because even though it's for you, you left. You think God's going to hold it? Stop, 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 they ain't there. We create phrases to create laziness. See, I can leave because if it's for me, hallelujah, then I'll be there. The devil is a lie. Sometimes the devil will move you because he knows it's for you. You've been asking God to do something for you and didn't happen yet. You keep leaving. When I was coming up, service wasn't over till the Lord said it was over. The pastor would have left and gone home. We would still be in church dancing. Somebody would be getting delivered, healed, set free. You don't see it much now because by the time I say amen, you up and gone. In Isaiah 43, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I have sent to Babylon. Listen to this. I sent to Babylon. He doesn't tell you who he sent, but you know who he sent. He sent his angels, because they always do his destructive work unless he needs to wipe out, you know, a whole civilization. Then he handles that himself, because he made the civilization. Like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said the Lord called down fire from the Lord. He didn't send an angel.
Some things God has to do himself. But here he said, I've sent to Babylon, and I have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel. I'm your King. Thus saith the Lord. I love this. Notice the introduction. You see, most prophetic people never do an introduction. That's why they don't have your attention, because you don't know who's speaking. They'll just get right up and talk. God always introduces. Moses went down to Pharaoh. Thus saith the Lord of the Hebrews. So you know who's getting ready to wipe you out. When it comes to prophecy, God's like a mafia hitman. He tells you why he's killing you. Nobody ever gets hit not knowing what they did. We want God to wipe people out without telling them why. He don't do that. He don't even bless you without telling you why. Because he wants to make sure the right person gets the credit and the right person gets the glory. We like the obscurity. We think we do it. Well, I went to school, and I got my degree, so I'm going to get that job. And then God gives the job to somebody who don't have a degree because they prayed and said, Lord, I lift my hand to thee. No other help I know. You sitting over there fuming. I don't know how they got that job because God said so. Then we hate the person that gave them the job, so in essence, you hate God. See how simple it is? Why, Pastor, let that person sit up in the chancel? I've been here since the doors open. That's right. You've been here since the doors open. But you have been here since the doors open. I have to be nice. I have to change what I say. Y'all pray for me. This is a difficult thing. He says, thus saith the Lord, listen to this, who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. What's that? That is a remembrance of them crossing the Red Sea. See that? God will always remind you of what he's done. What's he speaking to? Your unconscious, where memories are stored. Short-term memory is in the conscious. That's why it only lasts a few moments. Long-term memory is in the unconscious. That's where habits are formed. So God says, you remember what I've done for you decades ago. He said, I'm the Lord that makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. Hallelujah. Whew. Listen to this. I bring forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power, and they shall go down together. Again, making reference of the Egyptians. I made Pharaoh chase you so I could kill him. Why? So you won't have him chasing you anymore. I wiped out Egypt so they could not come and get you anymore. But I couldn't get Egypt out of you so that you would stop desiring to go back there. We have an undeniable ability to reach for what we've been pulled out of. While we were in something or someplace where we shouldn't have been, and he was merciful enough to guide us out, we should not go back into it. Watch this, because if we go back into it, he won't bring us out.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
12217P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.